Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk. We hope you all are doing well.
Noggy Talk.
No, I'm rock. Sorry, Noggy again. I like the little music you had with it.
The little music we added to it. Yeah.
Nice touch.
Did you and PT just like play that?
We did. It took us hours. Okay. People wonder what we do all day. That's what we do. We just play jingle bells.
Yeah. Well, it's middle of December, which is a little crazy.
I feel that statement right there. Yes. Mm-hmm.
What is today again? Today is December 10th, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, almost the middle.
That's a third of December. Of the way.
Yeah. It's going to be here before we know it.
It's the middle of like real December.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. And it's been cold. So that makes it feel like Christmas.
I like it.
Yeah. Sweater. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sweater weather.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The church is very festive.
It's all decorated. Thank you, Rhonda Marchman.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And team, and yeah, there's lots of Christmas parties going on.
Yeah. So we have our big Christmas Eve service coming up.
Yes.
And what do we have, like, as far as invite cards, people letting other people know about it?
Yeah, we've got invite cards. There's we're letting people know. We've given those out.
It's very highlighted that.
That's right. Yes, we do. I affirm the statement. Social media, it's there. We've run some ads there. We've got a billboard up. But ultimately, I mean,
we do.
Where's
the billboard?
By the mullet.
Storage?
The mullet storage unit.
Okay.
Yeah, digital billboard there.
Do we just take Steve Schutt's picture and just say, like, because people won't notice the difference?
That's right. And then we, signs up. But honestly, people are going to come because they're invited by someone who comes here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. You know, all the marketing, we could do all the marketing
Crossplay
in the world.
Has 10 times what we have anyway.
I mean, they do a great job at it. But, I mean, honestly, it's, you know, our people
got
to invite people. And people will come when you invite them.
Yeah, absolutely.
They will, especially Christmas Eve, folks.
Yeah.
And so we're having four services?
Four services. Hey, tell them about the photo booth. This is new this year.
Yes, so we have a photo booth this year. It's going to be in the... We call it the prayer garden.
People go out there and pray?
People actually...
Needs to be called the courtyard now.
Okay, the courtyard.
Why was it called the prayer garden?
Because, you know, you got to spiritualize things. True. I've gone out there and prayed before because it's a wonderful place to sit.
Yeah, it actually is a nice little area.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's outside, kind of in between. We'll have a sign to direct people.
Okay, but, that's good.
Yeah, that'll be out there if you want to get a picture
get your Christmas
with your
family. Photos.
What if somebody's praying in the background while you're getting your photo?
Then
very spiritual picture.
Photo
bomber.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh goodness. Well, Christmas time is crazy for a lot of people, especially people in ministry. A lot of events and things going on. So what's on y'all's plate? What's in your schedule? What's going on?
So many Christmas parties. Here, I'll pull
lots
up
of Christmas parties. So we actually have a shared spreadsheet of the Christmas parties that are going on in the church because of, you know, every life group does it. And we're thankful that they invite us, which is great. And so we do try to make an effort to make sure that at every life group party that one of our pastors or staff members are able to be there. Just because it's also great relational time with people, and we value that.
And free food.
And it's usually pretty good food, too. And I think just especially as we've grown, we have to be intentional about staying accessible, relational, all those things that I think, you know, I think we do a good job at it. And we have to make sure we're doing a good job at it the more people there are.
Yeah.
So
I was actually telling my discipleship group this morning that I actually really enjoy that because typically my time is spent with like intentional people, staff, and then like marriage issues,
going
health
on.
Issues.
Yeah.
And this is just like an opportunity to just like hang out with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So
usually at Christmas parties, like no one is like trying to corner us to
ask important questions.
I mean, and I don't mean like in a bad way, but like no one's no one's trying to be like, hey, I've been meaning to ask you this question I have, or hey, I've got this going on. And if they do, it's fine. That's why we're here. But ultimately, it's usually just. Just fun.
There are 19
time.
Christmas parties.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Okay. So you definitely need.
I'm not going to all
that.
19.
No, there's that's impossible.
We actually do a draft, and I get first round pick.
Okay.
Who did you pick first?
Yeah, I'm not saying.
I was going to say, what was the most fun Christmas party for life groups you guys have been to? You don't have ever? To say the name, but ever? Like, yeah,
I'm not going to go with a live crew. We had a staff Christmas party a few years ago where Steve Renna broke a table, and that was hilarious because it was Steve Renna breaking the table, the man who, you know, he and Ward take care of all the properties, and the fact that we were doing a game, and he sat on the table.
And he's like the lightest of our pastors. if I broke it, I'd be like, ah.
Snapped it in two. It was
what kind of game was this?
It was group charades, and one person's guessing, and a whole group has to act it out. And I think it was like partridge in a pear tree, maybe. And you can't use words. And so he like got on the table and tried to act like a bird or something, and it just snapped.
I don't remember any of that, but I remember the table breaking.
So funny.
I remember the table breaking.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this time is crazy because we have all these Christmas parties, mm-hmm. and then we're trying to get a lot done by the end of the
year.
Yeah,
there's a lot to wrap up.
Got to spend all the money. No, I'm just kidding.
Like, budgets, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Trying
to make and sure just, everything's covered. You know, we know that, like, for about 2 weeks there, you know, anything we're trying to accomplish is not going to happen.
Yeah.
And then I would say also, too, for us, like, there's a lot of people in our church who, like, they're just grieving this time of year.
Right.
And so you
for a
really
lot of reasons.
Just slow down mm-hmm. and be present. So I feel like there's a lot of context switching happening for us.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you and I both have kids that play basketball, and this mm-hmm. is like a crazy time of year for that. You
did, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're basketball families.
Yeah,
Lots of games.
Yeah.
That's
I think, you know, being sensitive to people's needs during this time, because even though like Christmas is this wonderful, exciting time, it is a heavy time for a lot of people mm-hmm. because this time of year. And I think one that helps make the beauty of, you know, the incarnation, you know, it just makes it even more beautiful to us. Mm. But I think in terms of worship planning, you know, you're dealing with all the feelings of people and the nostalgia, and the people want to sing all these songs, but also they just want you to sing.
Yeah.
you know, we don't want, we just want to listen.
They go and entertain.
And there, you know, this past Sunday we had the choir, we did some extra Christmas stuff, and then we've got Christmas Eve, and trying to strike that tension and that balance of, like, we want to do this super well, but at the same time we don't want to overdo it. Like, we mm-hmm. We don't want the production of things to overtake the actual meaning and the truth of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I think that's the tension we're constantly managing here.
Mm-hmm.
So
that brings us kind of to the next point. How do you manage those tensions well then? That you know, we have all of these things to do, but we have expectations, and that can be with staff, but it can also be with like family and events and things like that.
We're not the only. I do think ministry probably is unique in the weirdness and craziness of December, mm-hmm. but everyone is experiencing what we're talking
exactly.
about right now.
Exactly. Yeah. The feeling of having to be at all the places all the time.
Specifically people who are like not retired. You know,
yeah.
I would
yeah.
say, you know, yeah. maybe retired people are like, what you talking about?
Right.
You know, we're going to cruise
it's
for Christmas.
Best time of the year.
Yeah. How do we balance Christmas being, you know, about our kids, but then also like all these other work relationships and extended family? I think it's a tension to manage, not mm-hmm. not a balance to be kept.
Yeah. You can. Okay. I mean, because there's just things that are going to happen that you just have to deal with, and you can't. Yeah.
Yeah, I really feel like people who have found balance are out of balance, and they just have convinced themselves that they've found balance.
That they're in balance.
Yeah.
They're comfortable.
Yeah, they're comfortable. Yeah. So they're probably neglecting like some major, like people who don't serve their church.
And
you know, mm-hmm. and serve others, like, you know, or help with their grandkids like they should. Mm-hmm. They probably feel pretty balanced.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I mean, because serving and all that is.
Yeah.
It's serving, it's sacrificing, you know, mm-hmm. and so that takes time. I always, you know, when they say that every yes is a no to something else, I try to think about that a lot. Like, mm-hmm. I'm saying yes to this, what is the no that I'm saying to, and managing that, you know.
And I think different people's personalities struggle with that differently. Mm-hmm. I think people who are maybe more naturally extroverted or just like to be it, like, it's...
Yeah.
It's harder to say no to things. And then it's not just being an extrovert. It's like sometimes for people, busyness is a coping mechanism to deal with. They don't want to deal with what they actually need to deal with. So they just stay busy. Mm. As long as I'm busy. And then that also works.
I think this is turning into a therapy session for you right now.
Nah. I think for me it is. It's hard to say no to things because there's so many hands in so many things. And we're working, you know, staff-wise to make that better. But I think... I think being still is hard for anybody, even if you don't like people and want to be alone. Mm. Like, it's still, when you're alone, and you are faced with the things that you maybe need to address in your own heart. Mm-hmm. And if you don't do that, and you're denying, that leads to a lot of issues.
So KB, do you have a hard time saying no, or is your name is no, your sign is no? You just have to let it go.
No, I think I'm extroverted, so
okay.
I like to be with people and do fun things and stuff like that. So I probably, but with that, I was thinking about this. There's people in my immediate family that are not like that. Mm-hmm. So then you have to be respectful of them and, you know, make sure that you're not, because you keep saying yes, you're saying no to them in a different way. So that's. Mm-hmm.
I get energized from all this, you know. Christy, my wife, is an introvert, and so she is, like, exhausted when we are, like, you know, just going around people. And, I have to be respectful of that. And I have kids, too, who are also, like, it's too much on them, you know.
Right,
so,
And it gets, I think, more complicated to manage when you start talking about as the circle grows. You know, it's like if you're intentional with the immediate people, you know, I think that can be difficult, but it is somewhat manageable. But then when you start adding in the expectations of extended family and then other people who need things or want to do things, that's where you really have to start examining.
Yeah.
And we were having this conversation with our kids last night about some, you know, family dynamics and why things are a certain way, and just to be like, at the end of the day, when you say no to things that maybe other people want to do, you're going to disappoint people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are doing your best and you're being faithful and you're not neglecting legitimate needs, you're just going to have to learn to be okay with people misunderstanding you and maybe misjudging your heart, and be at peace with that. If you're at peace with Lord, and so far as it is with you, you're at peace with other people. Like, well, you're not responsible for how other people perceive things, so long as you're not intentionally, you know, being a jerk
and
being
I think
rude.
That's a, I think
you know,
that's a tension to manage.
It's hard,
right?
Like,
because you could be also just the jerk who never does anything you don't want to do.
Yeah.
And like honor our parents, right? But also like, I mean, we have our own mental health and our bandwidth, you know.
Yeah.
And I specifically, you know, just. We just don't travel. I mean, because we go hard until Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. And then it is such a sweet week. Usually about a week, our office is closed. And, you know, I am the minister on call, but usually there's not much going on. And I typically preach that Sunday just so that no one else.
Yeah.
Because I'm ahead. So, like, it's in my rhythms. And so it's 5 to 10 hours that week for me, versus if I asked Justin to do it, that's not in his rhythm. And so it would be like a full work week for him, you know, so I don't want to do that. But I still like am paused beyond that. And so for, you know, our family, you know, who wants us to go wherever, we're just kind of like, no.
Mm-hmm.
But then with that, I have to recognize like, okay, how can I make concessions other times of the year to
that's
adapt,
a good point.
You know?
Yeah.
It's tough though.
I think, you know, in our community too, because we have a lot of military families, and so that pull for them to be traveling and all is a lot more. What do you suggest with people, like, I guess this would be extended family, they're either going overboard with their expectations of Christmas and you're not on the same.
No landmines here. I think ultimately, so if you're married, you and your spouse have got to communicate really well and work to be on the same page, because this, I think, especially this time of year, can cause a lot of conflict in families and marriages, specifically because most people want to like honor their parents and figuring that out, you know. And I think, you know, I think of like my parents, they're pretty low maintenance in terms of, and it's a blessing, you know, like they're just kind of like, hey, we understand, like, and we want to see you, but we're going to figure out how to make it work. And they're also at an age where they can do that.
Yeah.
Not everybody's in that same boat, but I think when you start having demands placed on you by extended family, you ultimately do have to say, like, what does it look like to care for the ones that are immediately, I'm commanded to care for. My wife, my kids, and then what does it look like to honor those I'm commanded to? I'm commanded. The scripture says, "Honor your father." Like, what does it look like at this stage of life to do that? And you got to communicate well through that.
Yeah. And I would say that if anyone tells you you need to honor me, they are off base.
They're abusing that. Yeah.
They're right. But even in marriage, there should never be I'm telling my wife to submit. The command isn't husbands tell your wife to submit.
Right.
The command is God tells wives.
Act in a way. That,
yeah. Right. Yeah. And so I do think there are some of us who have parents, and not me, but that have parents mm-hmm. who are you need to honor me. It's woo, 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 mm-hmm. woo.
Yeah.
I do, but, and I do think we need to listen to their heart and appeal. I would think this might be tougher for you because you guys have family here, right?
Yeah. I think that I'm blessed to at least have both sides of our family are very gracious in time. You know, my in-law's side is much smaller than my side.
But they're
my
very
side
tall,
is,
so
they're they are actually, they're not.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, okay. We don't know where Chris came from.
Okay.
So anyways, my sisters, their kids are starting to get married. And so now it's now we have all these other people that are adding. And so it's just starting. So I'm kind of feeling things are going to start
changing.
Adjusting. Because then they, they're trying to honor that side, their side of the family and all that. So I think flexibility too, people mm-hmm. need to seasons are going to change. Mm-hmm. And like you said, communicating, understanding the heart behind mm-hmm. it, people just want to be together. Mm-hmm. And that's, so my mother-in-law has been good. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be this specific day. I just want to see you guys mm-hmm. around this time. So mm-hmm. I know not everyone is as fortunate to have that, but,
And I would say, and I would say to those who are, and maybe the empty nester, your kids are grown, I think about when my kids are older, what do I want? I want them to want to be together.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen by forcing it, but by providing space for it mm-hmm. rather. So I would just say mm-hmm. in the way you talk
show
to your
show me
children,
the money. That's what you're saying.
No, I'm just saying
you want
you
them
need
to want to be.
If you rent a house in 38, your kids will probably come. But if you want them to cram into your house that they grew up in, they might not.
I'm just saying,
you never know.
I was making more the environment and the relationship rather than the actual
physical.
But that's true. It is true. You want to make it easy? That'll make it easy. But I do think, you considering how you are helping. Rather than trying to hold on to what you want. I mean, I think that's what we're, and I recognize I say that not being in that season, and so I don't fully understand what that will be like, but I do know what I want, and I want to be like that when I'm in a stage of life. So.
Everybody's going to have to sacrifice.
Yeah, exactly. No one's going to. If one person in this whole, in your family dynamic, is getting everything they want, that means everybody else is probably really miserable.
Yeah.
And you don't want that.
And there is that person sometimes.
There is. Yeah.
And if you don't know who it is, maybe it's you. Isn't that what you guys always say?
Very true. Very true.
That's a good truth.
Man. Yeah. Well, we are going to be wrapping up Colossians.
Yes.
Very soon.
Nice transition.
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
Nice transition.
Wrapping presents.
Wrapping up Colossians.
What's next?
Joshua.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So we'll begin January 12th. Colossians takes us to January 5th. And then, things are back in full swing on January 12th, and we'll be into Joshua. And our first series is Joshua 1 through 5, and it's called Be Strong and Courageous.
Okay.
And we'll be talking about really being strong and courageous and learning from several things that took place there.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. So that'll be Joshua. I think that goes to about the summer, and then we'll be in Judges, and there'll be a break here and there, in those two books. But that'll be 2025.
I don't think in the time that I've been here, I think we've been in the New Testament.
Yeah, we have been for a while.
That.
It's been several years.
2020 is the last time.
Yeah, 2020. We preached through all the minor prophets.
Okay.
And
people needed a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took me a long time to go through Mark. That's why.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Right, Mark?
But that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited
it
to
took me really
do
long
Old
time.
Testament.
Yeah.
And it's then it good. Took me that's... a year longer than I thought it would for Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. That's
but
why.
It's good.
It's good stuff.
Took 2 years.
So, it's been wonderful.
Well, we'll be in the Old Testament next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, looking forward to that.
Those of you want more law. I'm just kidding. There's such great stories and hard stories, too, in Joshua.
Such great fables.
Yeah.
That's what you sound like.
Oh, no, but.
Such great stories.
Such great. No, that's not what I mean. But
such
I mean, really are
stories
just
in Joshua and Judges.
Judges gets wild. Yeah. But I mean, man, yeah, we'll get there.
I will. One of my kids, and it was David and Goliath. Like, I was trying to show him like a little kid's video of it because she was confused about something. After we watched it, she was like, "That was really scary." I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry."
Did you say you are not David?
Yeah.
Did you yell that?
I don't know.
Adam?
It just made me like, I don't remember being traumatized by that story, but they were both like, "Oh," and it was a cartoon and everything too. Yeah. But you know. Wow. Old Testament.
Yeah, I mean, you grew up in Left Behind, so nothing.
I don't think I've ever seen any of those movies.
I haven't either.
Did you read the books?
No.
I read a few of the books.
Yeah. Did you? I never read the books. Yeah. Nikolai, somebody?
I can't remember the name. Yeah, yeah. Carpathia.
Definitely did not get into
that.
Yeah. Well, going backing up just a little bit, with Christmas schedule and everything, we have a little bit of a change to our church schedule. Why do we drop certain things like life group?
Yeah.
On the 22nd and 29th.
We don't care about discipleship for two Sundays. The 22nd and 29th, there's no 8 o'clock service. And then the 20th, but there is regular kids ministry. On the 29th, no life groups, no 8 o'clock service.
There's no life groups
on the 22nd too, as well. Really, it's because we recognize those 2 weekends, there are a lot of people traveling. Also, our life group leaders serve a lot, and they prepare a lot. And we wanted to say, hey, like, we want you to also rest. And I mean, truthfully, attention we manage as a growing church is that having life groups on Sunday mornings, while very convenient for discipleship for adults, is also very inconvenient for kids ministry and volunteers. Mm-hmm. So we need to give people a break, just rest and our kids ministry volunteers. That's why. And a lot of people will be traveling, honestly. So
yeah,
it's a myriad of reasons. Yeah, attendance will be slightly. We think it'll be slightly down on the 22nd, but it might not be. It could be packed that Sunday.
Yeah.
But and then the 29th. But yeah, we got the 24th, which is a big deal.
Christmas
for services.
Eve is a big deal. Yeah.
And I mean, and truthfully, the church has been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
Before me, so don't be blaming me.
That's right.
Anyway,
I think it's helpful.
I'll take responsibility, but you know,
people need that for sure.
Yeah.
Well, here's one totally off topic question.
Ooh, bring it.
Okay. College football playoffs.
Yeah.
That's why we're canceling life groups.
That's right. Are they on Sunday? No, they're on Saturday, right?
Yeah, yeah.
NFL's still playing Sundays.
Yeah.
12 or 4. And you might need to explain that to people who don't.
Do you understand?
I get it.
You explain it.
I actually had to ask Chris. So,
Oh, really?
Let's see how good of a teacher he is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So should there be 12 teams or 4 teams in the playoffs, right?
Okay.
Because they changed it.
Yes.
Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. So last year it was 4 teams.
Yeah. Last year was 4. Every year that it's been 4, somebody, there's always teams that are left out that have arguably a decent case to be in it. Like last year, Georgia and FSU.
Yes.
Arguably both had a good case to be in there.
And the Gators.
The Gators have not.
We're 4-8.
No, yeah,
we're 4-8.
So, I mean, it was the same thing when there wasn't. It was before the 4 team. There was just the 2 team, and it was just the top 2. There was debate.
Yeah, yeah.
So, really, this is a way to. All it does is it shifts the debate of who should be in the playoff.
It causes them to make a lot more money.
They make a lot more money.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about this. I like it because really it ensures that any team who actually has a shot at the national championship gets in.
Yeah.
Right. It shifts the bubble. I mean, the bubble teams, do they legitimately have a shot?
Probably not.
Probably not. Maybe it's not like the Cinderella story it's not like basketball, which is a little bit more unpredictable, I think. I think, and the reason they didn't do 8 is because they had to make the conference championships mean something. And so they get a bye the first round, the conference champions. So that's why it's 12 and not 8.
4 of them do.
So you're 12. And also, they got to fix the Notre Dame problem because they just get in because they don't play anybody. And, then they don't have a conference championship. And anyway, that's
another
topic.
So you're saying the Catholic school rewrote the narrative?
Maybe so.
For themselves.
I see what you did there.
Wow.
Anyway, I'm in favor of it. I mean, it is also money, but it's, it makes.
It's enjoyable. I'm going to enjoy watching
it. Yeah, it's more fun.
And I will say this has made, and part of it's the conference realignment, has made this season have a lot more bigger games, more at-stake games. There's a lot more, like, before with 4 teams, it's like once you knew you're out, what are you playing for? And so games later on in the season didn't matter as much. So I like it.
Yeah, because if Georgia Tech had beat Georgia, you guys probably would have been out.
Could have been.
Yeah,
probably. I mean, really will. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, some people – it's so funny. I'm like, people throw such shade I have thought that the four, they've got it right most years, the four. I mean, mm-hmm. I understand last year was kind of probably the most debatable year. But I've thought they got it right. And I thought we pretty much had the true champion every year. But people are, again, like, oh, they blah, blah, blah. I'm like, who else should be in?
Yeah.
You know, because they're mad that Alabama and Ohio State and Georgia are all still for sure in. And it's like, yeah, but they are three of the best 12. You know, I mean, Alabama's maybe on the bubble, but Miami, you know, anyway. So I'll enjoy it.
It'll be good. I like watching college football. So
yeah,
more games,
I mean,
the better.
That's true. Yeah. Well,
you got to NIL. You got to do something to make up, because that's kind of ruining it for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And the NFL is becoming a better and better product in light of how college football is becoming more pro-focused.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So you got to do something to kind of
to make it
incentivize
more,
people. Yeah.
Well, let's look forward to
it. The Gators will not be in it this year again.
Oh,
though.
Yeah. Sorry.
They're
so
getting better.
Sad.
But neither will Florida State.
We know that.
Yes.
By any means.
Yeah. Lots of bitterness here. But.
Yeah.
We'll move on from
what
that.
An epic fall.
Yeah.
What happened?
I think we need to end right here. This is a good place to end.
The FSU fan says, we're done.
Well, lots to look forward to. Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Things, new series.
I love Christmas Eve.
It's all going to be great.
I do.
It is.
I love it. And then I love when it's over and I go home.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the service. I love everyone being together. Yeah. And I love that last song being done.
And we've got one more Boggy Talk, right? Next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And then we're taking a break.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take a break.
Yeah. Yes. What, we can do anything special for next week?
Yeah, I don't know. You tell me. I'm not really trying to remember.
We will plan that.
Okay.
Sounds good. It'll be very exciting. All right. Well, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email me at kelly@churchonbayshore.org. And thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.